with Govert Schilling, a wonderful storyteller about the search for something we're not going to find. But the search is the joy. 100 years from now, 200 years from now, they'll know much more about where we were right and where we were wrong. Govert is giving you the best right now that exists in the universe about the search for the universe that we're searching for. And we come now to the cosmic microwave background and what that tells us about dark matter and about dark energy and how we need it. The cosmic microwave background, as everybody knows, is something that was found in the late 20th century by looking at the sky and saying, what is this buzz, like radio fuzz in the backgrounds? That's left over from the very beginning. That tells us that the universe was, well, the way I think of it is the universe was flat when it started. Is that right, Govert? It wasn't, it didn't have dimensions. It was flat.
Yeah, it was in a sense flat in the sense that it was very smooth, no large scale curvature of space. So the main thing of this cosmic microwave background is that it's the last. Well, it's actually the only signal that we have from very soon after the Big Bang, only a few hundred thousand years. So it's the oldest light in the universe that we can study. And when we study this microwave background with big radio telescopes here on the ground and with satellites in space, it gives us some information about the structure of the universe back then. And you remember that we talked about Jim Peebles, who was wondering about how could the early smooth universe evolve into the clumpy universe right now? Well, the microwave background shows us that the early universe was almost smooth, but not completely smooth, because we see tiny fluctuations in temperature and in density. And the pattern of this distribution of these fluctuations in the background radiation, that is a very important clue to the ingredients of the universe. With different mix of ingredients, these clumpiness of the background radiation would be different. So now we look at the microwave background, and astronomers can use this information to predict what the current ingredients of the universe are. And that's this dark energy, a mystery, dark matter, also a mystery, and the baryonic matter, the atoms and the molecules that we know of. And they come up with exactly the same recipe that we discussed before. It's actually from the microwave background that we know this percentages so accurately. And the funny thing here is that this study of the cosmic microwave background is pretty new. The latest observations were only published in 2018, and they give us a clear indication that there must be dark energy, there must be dark matter. And even, and I find this interesting, even if we did not have all the information from Vera Rubin and Albert Bosma and Fritz Zwicky and the gravitational effects, if we did not have all of that, and we just had the microwave background from the Big Bang, our conclusions would still be the same. We cannot do without dark matter. So the microwave background, the radiation, the echo of the Big Bang, if you would like to call it that way, is very important. And it's a confirmation of our ideas about dark matter.
At this point in the telling, Govert admits this is circumstantial evidence. Yes, okay, fine, you got us. So let's go to Gran Sasso. This is Italy, way underground, that apparently you find this by taking a road through a tunnel and you turn left and you turn right. I don't know, I got lost. It worried me how much mountain was above you. But here we have an experiment to find the thing itself using xenon. Very dedicated people. There are more than one in Italy. They're around the world. They've entertained Ontario, South Dakota, New Mexico. Some are underway. They're looking for what the WIMP, the weak interacting massive particle, is going to interact with. And they're waiting. What's the experiment look like?
Yeah, it's an incredible experience because this cave deep underground is huge. Big trucks can drive in and out of it to carry equipment. And there are all kind of big science fiction-like installations. And there's a sort of a dusky atmosphere, and it's cold, and it's like an underground mysterious place that you are not allowed to go into. It's really out of a horror science fiction movie. But the experiment itself is actually a very big tank of water, and inside the water is a vat with liquid helium. And the idea of the experiment is that if dark matter is so abundant in the universe, it must also be around us. And we cannot measure it because it doesn't interact with normal matter. But every now and then, very rare, it might collide, one dark matter particle might collide with a big atomic nucleus. And if you see the effects of such a collision, you might be on the track of dark matter. And then obviously you have to shield your experiment from all other kinds of interactions, from normal particles, from particles from space, particles from natural radioactivity. So that's why the experiment is so incredibly high tech and has to be deep underground. But so far these experiments also have not given us the solution to the riddle. And that starts to become a little bit worrying, because we have newer and bigger xenon experiments, both in the United States and South Dakota, and in Italy and Europe and in Japan and in China. And all these experiments are still giving up null results. They do not find evidence for the existence of dark matter. And now people start to scratch their heads. What if we will not find it? What do we have to conclude? What is the solution to our problem that's already a century old?
Yes, you call them the xenon wars, but let's go to an experiment that isn't the xenon war. It's called DAMA, D-A-M-A, and it's using high purity crystals of sodium iodide. Now, they've come up with a result, but I don't know whether it's a result that proves anything, but it is interesting. Apparently, there's a seasonal pattern. Please help me understand.
Yeah, well, if there is a sea of dark matter around us in this halo of the Milky Way, then our sun must be moving through this halo. And that means that, and then the Earth is circling around the sun. So every now and then, our Earth is moving in the same direction as the sun moves through the halo, and the other half a year later, it's moving in the opposite direction. So one half of the year, you should see a little bit more interactions of dark matter particles, and the other half of the year, a little bit less. And this DAMA experiment, which is the DAMA, actually stands for dark matter. The DAMA experiment claims that they see this seasonal effect. And the thing is that if they are correct, it would be a big breakthrough, because we would have found dark matter, because apparently they see this effect that you expect from these particles. But no other experiment sees the same thing. They don't even see the particles themselves. They have tried to replicate the experiment, and they don't see a seasonal effect too. And the DAMA experiment is the only one who has this claim. So other scientists are very busy trying to explain their conclusions in a different way. Maybe they have some bug in their analysis, or they draw the wrong conclusions. It's a big unsolved mystery there.
We go to another experiment underway at the International Space Station. This is a search for messages from space, is what Govert calls it. I think they're looking for something like antimatter, but I'm not sure. Samuel Ting is the Nobel laureate, who was very generous with you, very generous. And what did you learn from his experiment at the ISS?
Well, it's still running. It's an interesting experiment, because it's actually a particle detector flying in space. It's not as big as the detectors in CERN, because you couldn't launch that, but it's pretty big. It's on the outside of the space station, and it detects particles that are flying through interstellar space, and they are all around us, and they are hydrogen nuclei, and there are electrons, the particles that we know of, but they also see particles of antimatter. And there's one theory that if there is dark matter in the universe, then every now and then two dark matter particles could collide with each other, and they produce maybe antimatter in the process. And if you see too much antimatter in an experiment like the AMS on board of the International Space Station, that's the experiment we were talking about, if there's too much of this antimatter, it might be coming from dark matter in the center of our Milky Way. And right now, they are not yet sure that they are seeing this too high abundance, but maybe when they collect more evidence over the next 5 years, we hope the space station will be running at least until 2028. So there's still 5 or 6 years to go. They may have collected enough data to conclude that their antimatter measurements are pointing to the existence of dark matter collisions in the center of the Milky Way.
The book is The Elephant in the Universe, 100 Years Search for Dark Matter. Govert Schilling is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.